Today's reading is from the letter from Paul and Timothy to Philemon, verses 4 to 7, which can be found on page 1200 of the Pew Bible. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Amen.
There's one word that doesn't appear in the letter to Philemon, but which sums up the meaning of it. It's a Greek word, and it's called koinonia. It's a word which we've heard something of in the past, but it has multiple meanings. When Paul used it, he spoke in terms of Romans and in Corinthians and also Philippians. But it means something deep and powerful. We think of friendship, and in church circles we talk of fellowship. Increasingly, we think of community as well. And all of these are good things. And koinonia could mean each one of them, but it means something much more. It means a deep bond, a coming together, a like-mindedness, an empathy, an understanding. It means that there are no superficial relationships. It means that the bonds that we have, that the way in which we know each other is meaningful, so that we understand each other, so that we appreciate each other, so that we respect each other, of course, and so that we embrace each other. Koinonia had real meaning in the early church, because the Christians of that time found it could be enacted. As Jesus came amongst them, as they became what was known as the church, and as their witness reached out to others. And God calls us to know something of that also today, in this shelter, as we gather together as the church. May our relationships be koinonia relationships, ones where we truly know each other as we truly know the Lord. Norman Foster, Lord Foster these days, renowned architect who is now 84 years old. Still in practice, he is now safeguarding his legacy. That's why the Norman Foster Foundation is being established. Based in Madrid, its intention is to promote collaboration. For Foster believes that thinking and research is vital to assist those who design to anticipate the future. And all of that actually has implications for us all. At the same time, Norman Foster himself is creating a depository of his work for future reference, not surprisingly. What is surprising is that he's held on to every piece of work produced, all the way back to the 1950s, when he was a student. Imagine holding on to everything that's been done through the years. In his case, drawings, sketches, models, and all the paperwork associated. I found out about that this week, at the same time as I was reading Philemon. Immediately, I saw two parallels. First, the issue of holding on and how to respond. And second, the matter of future anticipation and what to do. Both have particular meaning within the Christian faith. Both are issues which Paul, the apostle, addressed. And both are important to you and me. Philemon is an unusual letter. It's the shortest in the canon of Scripture. Only one chapter, all appearing on one page. Although addressed to one individual, it concerns another. And it touches on the subject of slavery, commonplace in that culture. A subject that the New Testament writers otherwise did not address. In all of this, it's tempting to believe that Paul was a man ahead of his time and that he was the forerunner to emancipation through what he said to Philemon and Onesimus. I'd like to believe it too, but it's more likely that even Paul was so conditioned to the society of that time that he could not go as far as to condemn slavery outright. Speculation abounds and will continue to do so. But what is clear is that Paul was addressing new kinds of relationship and relating. In his view, these were distinct to the Christian faith, prompted by Jesus and his example. It's also clear that in those early church days, not only was the effect of the resurrection known, the moving of the Holy Spirit was also. And whilst that involved the miraculous, there was also influence over thinking and attitudes, all of which affected the apostles in their understanding and writing over time. It affected the church of that time too, and now we can look back and learn. For in the context of being set free from sin, believers in that time were not far from condemning what Roman society took for granted. Of course, Paul had an agenda also. His was an appeal. He sought to address a difficult situation based on a Christian relationship. And to his mind, that superseded whatever other human response or reaction there might be. Again, that involved the matter of holding on and what it means, as well as that future anticipation. All of this was important. Philemon had been a convert under Paul's ministry. He was a Greek landowner living in Colossae, and the Colossian church met in his house long before the days of church buildings. All of this made Philemon's response and his influence of the utmost importance. To this, Paul said, "I'm praying for you." And he did. A reminder to do the same for each other. Take a look around this church today and choose to pray for those around you. You may not know specifics, but your prayer will go some way to enable that other person to go on in faith, as well as to keep on going. And Paul said, "I've heard about you. I'm encouraged by what you do in Jesus' name." For in his name and through his name, we can love each other more. This is more than reputation. This is koinonia. And this is what every church needs, and more besides. And Paul said that he prayed all the more for Philemon, this time so that he would actively share the faith that he'd found. We can each share what we believe, but if others pray also, that effect can be magnified. It was then Paul spoke about the understanding which Philemon had, a full understanding, as the apostle put it, to which Philemon might have said, "But I do already," and to which Paul would have said, "Not entirely." Now we're getting to the point. "We're in a new kind of relationship," said Paul, "one which truly knows the other, one which truly cares, one which respects, that dignifies and embraces, that understands or seeks to do so. A relationship where Jesus is known and shared, yes, but where the influence of Jesus is felt all the more, so that what he would do is what we would do. And what he would say is what we would say." To do that means no longer holding on to whatever it is. It could be events, circumstances, experiences, or even abuse from the past or the present. It could be that misunderstanding that's never quite been resolved, that unforgiveness, or even grief. God knows about it all. And he simply says, "Come. Come to a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ." Paul was prepared to let Onesimus go, even although his preference was otherwise. But Philemon also had to let go. No longer could he hold on to what Onesimus had done and seek retribution. And no longer could he hold on to Onesimus as a slave. Now they were to be reunited as brothers in Christ, cutting across cultural boundaries, cutting through human understanding, cutting down normal human response. For now, they were bound together as people anticipating the future. A future that involved the effect of the resurrection, a future that involved the moving and leading of the Holy Spirit, and a future involving the promise of Christ's return one day, as well as his presence in the present. To that, Paul was calling them to join together, to witness together, to herald the kingdom of God together. That's a love which can refresh, which can bring about joy and encouragement, and which affects others for good. And all of that is within our grasp. We may not know the outcome of that reunion between Philemon and Onesimus, but we trust that it was all that Paul anticipated. Koinonia, that's the word which describes the letter to Philemon. The question is what to do in response. If you've found out more about this letter and what it means, then good. If you have a better understanding of those times, that's good also. And if you've recognized the benefit of a relationship with Jesus, all the better. What's now required is that fuller understanding. And that involves how we relate to each other as believers. This is more than fellowship, whatever that means. This is more than community, whatever that means. This is a representation of Jesus in you that spills out to others. It's not Sunday best. It's day by day. And in the context of the church, it's a witness and a testimony. For God says that you are no longer to be enslaved to who you once were or to however things were once. Never mind to what anyone thinks or may have thought about you. For now, you are free in Christ. And that freedom is to share as much as enjoy. It's koinonia again. And if Paul intended anything from his letter to Philemon, it was to encourage and promote a new kind of relationship, one with which Christians can and should associate. Thinking of Philemon and Foster this week, I also discovered something else. It's advice that was recently given to ministers in training. They were told, keep your ministry professional. Be wary of developing friendships within your congregation. And keep your private life private. I think I understand why that was suggested. But, all things considered, I disagree. For it's not koinonia. But it's not just ministers. For Paul would say to us all that there comes a point where we must share with and we must know and we must love each other. Norman Foster's foundation may be his legacy, but that of the Christian is different. We are called to hold on to Jesus, and we are called to anticipate the future with him. All as koinonia becomes our watchword now. Let us pray. Lord, we come together, but we're called to be together. Enable us to know and experience what that means, coming to a fuller understanding. As we relate to you and then relate to each other as you would have us do. For this is our prayer, spoken in Jesus' name. Amen.